Hello everyone, this is Susanna, one of the MTs, and I just want to preface this by saying apologies if it's a little bit rambly, but I was finding it hard to prepare and know what to say, and I just thought I would hit record and just have a go, so we'll see how it goes. But I'm going to be talking from John chapter 19 verses 1 to 12, and it says this. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." Now, I think for me, one of the many reasons that the gospel is so compelling is because it's just something that humans would never come up with. The whole idea of Jesus as the king, like the song that we sang on Sunday. We just wouldn't create a king that sits by while he gets mocked, that is silent in the face of accusers, that is humble and servant-hearted, that is despised and rejected. I don't know what you think about when I say the word king, but we think about wealth and great honour and a palace, probably great achievements in war, hero, probably avenging the deaths of loved ones and restoring peace to the kingdom at all costs. These are the kind of people in history that would have been celebrated. And you think about Palm Sunday, that's just gone, where Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey. In Luke's account, we read that people were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They saw him as their king. They knew from the Old Testament that there was a king to be coming. We read in Daniel 7, the famous passage that says about the Son of Man, "To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." And so the thought of all the Jewish people is that he's going to come in might, he's going to destroy the Romans, he's going to restore Jewish honour. And therefore, when you see Jesus before Pilate, we're not surprised by the reaction of the soldiers, that they are scorning Jesus. This is the King of the Jews, and what a king he is. What a letdown. In chapter 18, just before the passage I read, Jesus talks all about his kingdom again. Pilate says to him, "So you are a king?" And this is in chapter 18, verse 37. And Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Now this is what his kingdom was all about bringing the truth of our sin, of our need for a saviour, the good news. That's what the king does. That's what a true king does. He is a servant king. And incredibly, the soldiers do acknowledge him as a king, but as a joke of a king. They give him a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and they pretend to worship him as king of the Jews. And you think about thorns as a symbol of the curse too, in Genesis, that thorns grew up when sin entered the world, and he's crowned with these thorns. The curse is his crown. It's a symbol of what he's bearing. And the robe, the honour and the glory that is his, but that he set that aside, that we might be clothed with a robe of righteousness and be crowned with everlasting life. And yet you just see him enduring this for us. Something else that John repeatedly draws our attention to is the innocence of Jesus. That Pilate continually questions Jesus, trying to get him to say something that might help his case, and he cannot find anything wrong with him. But equally, Jesus will not give him the ticket out of crucifixion that Pilate's looking for. And you see Pilate squirming under the pressure. He's so divided. He's afraid when he hears what they've said. He wants to find out, what is the motive? What's the real reason why they want to crucify him so much? What has he really done that is so evil and so deserving of this death? And you see in verse 7 that the Jews say, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." So they know exactly what he is claiming, but they reject that claim. And in doing so, they make their allegiance to the earthly king, an earthly kingdom. I guess in part that's to Caesar and Rome, but ultimately it's to Satan. It's one or the other, isn't it? Either you worship Jesus as king and lord, or you're under the dominion of Satan. And it's so strange too that the Jews are so determined at this point to not worship Jesus as king and not have him as their king, that they will even declare allegiance to Rome. And finally, there's something I think quite chilling to read. Pilate says, "Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And this is the last thing that Jesus says before he goes to the cross and cries out. And he says, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." So he's saying, it's God that has the authority. God that put you in this position of power for this particular time. That the Father is completely in control of the outcome. And now the other side of the cross, we see that so powerfully. But you just see the ignorance and the tiny minds of humans in this passage, I think. And while this is the trial of Jesus, he actually has these people on trial. He's seeing where their hearts are, who they're going to choose, what they're going to believe. Are they going to let their image of what a king should be cloud their judgment? The point is that Jesus is not like human kings. I just want to end by looking at a verse from Revelation 19. Verse from verse 11 to 16. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.